Today on EdgeFX, we are sharing an interview that originally aired on Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio, hosted by Rob Ferret and produced by Colleen Leahy. In this interview, literary scholar and astrophotographer Caitlin Moore explains why this upcoming eclipse is extra unique and how you can safely capture it.
Caitlin Moore joins us, Director of Communications for the UW-Madison Department of English and acclaimed amateur astrophotographer. Caitlin's work has been featured in Live Science, Space.com, and the Overture Center for the Arts, and it's on permanent display at several laboratories across the UW. Caitlin, thanks a lot for joining us today.
I'm delighted to be here.
Remind us what a solar eclipse is.
So a solar eclipse, in short, is actually quite simple in terms of its mechanics, but its actual occurrence is very, very rare. It's when the moon passes between the Earth and the sun, and the eclipse occurs when the moon's shadow is cast onto the surface of the Earth.
And how common are these? A lot of them might happen, and we don't get to see them here in the U.S. How common are these around the world?
They are, I would say, once or twice a year in terms of the commonality on a yearly basis, but as occurring over populated areas, they're very, very rare. Because the moon is actually at a 5-degree tilt off the axis of Earth's rotation around the sun, there isn't a perfect plane alignment between the moon and the sun, so it doesn't occur quite as often as we would think it would, because the mechanics of it are ostensibly pretty simple.
And we've gotten two just 7 years apart hitting the United States. Now, we haven't gotten either of them, the full one here in Wisconsin. Is it common for the same place to get a couple shots at it in such a relatively short period of time?
No, we've been very, very lucky. And the one this year is going to be even more spectacular than the one in 2017 for a couple of reasons, not least of which because the sun is actually entering what's known as its solar maximum period, whereas back in 2017, it was entering its solar minimum period.
Now, let's get into your experience with the eclipse. First of all, I understood you are planning to journey south to see it. Do I have that right?
Yes.
And where are you going to go? What kind of plans are you making? It sounds like I'm not going myself, which is good, because if I went, there'd be a lot of cloud cover. talk about your plans for catching the eclipse.
Well, you sort of hit the nail on the head. But finding a balance between being within the path of totality and trying to take into account, all right, what is the weather going to do on a particular day? So your best bet for traveling to see the solar eclipse is to look at sort of the weather tables for particular locations, look at where it has the likeliest possibility of having a clear sky. And that's places like northern Mexico and Texas. The further north you go in through Ohio, the areas around the Great Lakes into upstate New York, you have a higher chance of hitting sort of cloudy and overcast skies.
Talking to Caitlin Moore, well-known amateur astrophotographer based here in Wisconsin, about the solar eclipse. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Caitlin, astrophotography. You're not just pulling your phone out of your pocket and taking pictures. I know that doesn't work very well. What goes into astrophotography?
Yes. So I use a 600mm zoom lens on a Nikon DSLR camera. It's a combination of finding a good camera, a good lens, and having a tripod to keep everything steady. And of course, when one sets up for photographing a solar eclipse, there's a couple extra sort of safety precautions one has to take.
Like what? I mean, I know we got to wear the glasses if we're looking at it with the naked eye. Yeah, I assume it doesn't work to just look through your camera lens.
No, that's a really important thing, particularly people who are using telescopes or binoculars. It's not enough to wear those special glasses and then look through the binoculars and then look through the telescope. You could still damage your eyes. There are particular filters that one has to purchase that fit on the end of the lens, so the lens where the light hits first. And these specialized lenses can filter out up to 100,000 times the light, the visible and ultraviolet spectrum of the sun. This prevents not only your eyes getting damaged, but also the equipment that you're using.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Carolyn is with us in Madison. Carolyn, hi.
Hi. Hello. It was not cloudy here in Madison. I am going to take a white cardboard out under trees. It's amazing how many pinholes are in different kinds of trees. All we got is evergreens right now to try this out under. But the last time there was an eclipse, I discovered all the crescents on the ground and brought out a white cardboard just to catch. Oh, look at those. Look at that one. It was different under any tree we went under.
And, Carolyn, you did that here in Wisconsin, so we got kind of a partial view.
It was a while back.
Yeah, 7 years ago, I think. Yeah. Carolyn, I remember that. I was down on the landing here at our building. It was weird and eerie. Not as cool as the full thing. Caitlin, can you talk about the weird optical thing that Carolyn was talking about, those crescents appearing?
Certainly, and those are really, really cool. And there's actually a good chance of that happening again this year because the percentage totality that this area of Wisconsin is going to experience is around about high 80s to low 90% of totality. So when you look at those shadows that are cast, they're going to appear as those crescents, mostly because that's how much of the sun is actually casting the shadow at that point.
Thanks a lot for that call, Carol. Now, once again, I'm not going to go see the whole thing. When that last one came around, I talked to a guest who said something like, the difference between the full and the partial is like, you know, seeing the Super Bowl during the game and visiting the stadium the next morning, right? It's a pretty big difference.
Yes. The thing that's really remarkable about a full solar eclipse is that it's night in microcosm. Crickets will start to chirp. You'll see the stars in the sky. Birds will go quiet. Your pets might behave a bit strangely.
Interesting. Now, have you gone and tried to photograph an eclipse before, Caitlin?
I have tried to photograph that. We actually had what's known as an annular solar eclipse back in October of 2023 and had plans to take images of it here in Wisconsin. Unfortunately, it was cloudy and rainy the entire day and it didn't work out. When the 2017 full solar eclipse happened, I was actually in the wrong hemisphere. Down in New Zealand at the time. So been in touch with my other astrophotography mates, my other astronomers, and the plan this year, because we are getting a full path of totality through a really sizable portion of the United States that has high population density, the plan is this year is to get it.
Let's go back to our callers. Donna is with us in Bayfield County. Donna, hi.
Hi. I'm curious about what it will be like. I'm going to be flying from California to back to Wisconsin on the 8th. And I'll be leaving early morning from California and returning here like mid-afternoon. So I'm just curious about what I might observe.
Oh, interesting. Caitlin, any thoughts on what Donna might see along the way from the sky?
Oh, that's a great question. There's actually been a number of flights that are scheduled to depart from the Dallas-Fort Worth area that are specifically for viewing the solar eclipse. So based on the flight path that you're going to be taking, you're not going to be passing within the path of totality. But depending on what side of the plane you're seated, if you look out the window, and of course you want to make sure you're wearing eye protection, you're not looking directly at the sun, you could actually see some of that partial path of totality, particularly sort of towards midday and into early afternoon.
Thanks for that call, Donna. Good luck. I hope you see cool stuff there. Caitlin, I understand a lot of scientists, astronomers try to take advantage of an eclipse to see stuff in the sky.
Yes.
What kind of opportunities does this open up for us apart from, you know, just the eclipse itself?
Well, one of the really interesting things that's happening right now is that we're actually getting a periodic comet passing close by Earth. It's Comet 12P Pons-Brooks. It is about a couple degrees higher than the sun in the sky. Of course, you can't regularly see this comet when the sun is out. But in the path of totality, I said it's sort of a microcosm of the night sky, the stars come out, it can be dark enough to actually see this comet. So when the sun isn't visible, you're able to take measurements, you're able to actually do observational astronomical work in the daytime. A very famous example of this is Sir Arthur Eddington, the mathematician, actually proved Einstein's theory of relativity during a solar eclipse because they were able to take measurements of the way light was bent.
Time for one more caller. Dean is with us on the road in Wisconsin. Dean, hi.
Hi. I actually live in Nashville, and I saw the last one, and I plan on going up for the next one as well next week. And it really is beyond words how to describe it other than the most glorious diamond that you've ever seen. I like to tell people there are some things you just can't, see on TV or a picture of, like the Grand Canyon, and you got to go see it. Or otherwise, it's just a big hole in a picture. And it's the same thing for the total eclipse. When you see it in person, I cried a little bit. It's just so amazingly beautiful.
Wow. Dean, thanks a lot for sharing this. Caitlin, in our last few moments, this can be kind of an overwhelming thing to see, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. And Dean sort of hit the nail on the head. It's like what Jodie Foster says. They should have sent a poet. But what's going to be really even more extraordinary this year, because as I said, the sun is entering its period of solar maximum, which means its coronal activity is going to be very, very active. So during the totality, when the sun is completely covered, you'll be able to see the outer atmosphere of the sun, what's known as the corona. It's this beautiful, hazy, sort of pearlescent white that surrounds the dark disk of the moon. It's going to be absolutely extraordinary.
Caitlin, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Of course.